listening to New England Public Radio News, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. I'm Adam Frenier. With us today, Kristen Palpini, reporter with the Berkshire Eagle in studio, and on the line on his porch in Ashfield, Larry Parnas, investigations editor, also with the Berkshire Eagle. Welcome to you both.
Thanks, Adam.
Hey, Kristen.
Hi.
Construction on the MGM Casino is winding down ahead of its August 24th opening, and the company says they are exceeding diversity goals for construction workers on the project. About a fifth of the work has been done so far by racial or ethnic minorities, 6% ahead of their benchmark. Breaking into the building trades has long been hard for women and minorities. Here's carpenter Taika Robinson.
You know, as a woman coming on the site, you have to give 200%, not 100, 200. And then you still get these, you know, guys that still want to talk behind your back and say, you know, oh, why is she here? You know, I got to deal with double, being black and being a woman.
But she says it's been a lot better on the MGM site because there are more women. So, Kristen, are you surprised they're hitting these goals? Should the goals have been higher?
The goal for women was about 7%, which it sounds really low. Like, that sounds like a low bar, but, you know, maybe it wasn't. There aren't a lot of women in this field. And that was actually, they surpassed that. I think it's really exciting that they've been trying to recruit women and get them in on this. And I think it's, you know, it sounds great that they're meeting their goals, but, I want to see the receipts.
Larry, separate from the construction work, MGM will hire about 3,000 employees to run the casino. They have diversity goals there, too, half women and half minorities. But how important is it for regulators to make sure that these jobs are spread across all pay grades and all pay levels?
Well, that's a really interesting point. On the construction side, you know, helping women, fostering women's entrance into the construction trades really is a significant economic issue because they're high paying. And in the coverage that NEPR had in this, it's really people speak proudly of these wages that they're making, which is in the high 20s and even more, you know, for beginners. So it's the construction trades that are going to have a really material effect on family incomes for people who make that bridge to that kind of construction trade experience. You know, to your other question, inside, once there's continuing operations, I don't think that the quarterly reporting has to drill down that far. There is 57 jobs listed right now on the MGM Springfield site. You know, so there's a lot of work, and that's real. Some of the jobs are supervisory, but there's, you know, it's a hospitality industry, and there's going to be a lot of relatively lower wage jobs. But so far, I think they're improving the base level of that kind of work in the Springfield area.
You know, I remember back when we were still voting on whether we wanted casinos to come to specific towns, and I was living in West Springfield at the time. And
you turned it down.
And we did. The town turned it down. And I remember talking to some of my friends who were so angry that these jobs weren't going to be in West Springfield and they weren't going to be, you know, so close. And they were, you know, minimum wage service kinds of jobs. And I said, well, you know, that's hard to make a career out of those. I said, well, it's better than nothing. I'm like, wow, that's very true.
This week, some light was shined on the financial situation surrounding the Berkshire Museum. Of course, the museum is in the midst of trying to raise $55 million. It says it needs to stay open. So far, through its controversial plan to sell some of its art collection, it's raised about $47 million. Larry, after poring over all of these documents, what's your takeaway?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a retroactive argument that's being made through these documents. The museum is making them public and made a point of pointing out that they were making them public. But they're at a point in time. The most recent ones are for the fiscal year that ended last June, so a year ago, fully a year ago. And they don't include any of the $47 million in proceeds from the recent art sales. I think that the key thing is that while they can show a significant deficit, and while I think everybody who's taken a cool, neutral look on this would agree that they had liquidity problems, the question for the enduring opposition to the sales is, well, what steps did they take in advance of making this decision, and could there have been other paths? I think that's a question that's not going to be put to bed by financial filings.
Moving along, retail sales of marijuana someday will begin in Massachusetts, which could mean an increase of people driving high. Right now, there's no reliable scientific test to measure impairment due to pot use, so it makes it hard to prove legally. Kristen, you wrote about this and spoke to several in law enforcement. Is there anything in the works to help deal with this situation?
So right now, there is a special committee in Boston looking at this issue, researching what kind of methods are available for detecting if somebody's high on marijuana and driving or too high on marijuana and driving. And it what other states are doing basically boils down to setting like a weed alcohol or similar to a blood alcohol limit, but for marijuana, putting a and then requiring them to take tests, evaluations to see if they are on the drugs. And the evaluations are conducted by specifically trained officers.
And from talking to folks around here, is there some concern that these tests aren't coming up quick enough?
There are. Yes, especially among police officers who are struggling right now with loose laws and getting people off the streets if they're driving dangerously and smoking weed.
And finally this week, there's a lot of summertime activities taking place this weekend. Music festivals, ball games, and even an air show. They're also constructing a beach in the middle of downtown North Adams for a day this weekend. The weather looks pretty good. So, Larry, what are you up to?
I probably should be going to the Green River Festival because Michael Franti is there, and it's a pretty good lineup. It's really one of the true gems of outdoor music. But this really is the high season, and there's so many choices. I probably won't get to Eagle Street in Adams for the fake sand.
Kristen, what about you?
I think what I'll probably end up doing is watching the Westover Air Show from a friend's house in Chicopee.
Sounds great. All right, Kristen.
Adam, don't forget soccer on Sunday.
That's right, the World Cup final, if you're looking for an indoor activity, perhaps, to watch on TV as well. All right, Kristen Palpini of the Berkshire Eagle and Larry Parnas, also of the Eagle. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And in speaking of summer, the shortlist will take its summer vacation next week, but fear not, loyal shortlist listeners. We'll be back with a fresh edition coming up on Friday, July 28th. But in the meantime, you can head over wherever you get your podcasts or go to nepr.net/podcast to catch up on past shortlists. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.